So today we are blessed with the most auspicious opportunity to study once again the wonderful, illustrious purports of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, text number 33.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yuvam Vai Brahmana Adishtau Praja Sarge Yada Tata Sanyamya Indriya Gramam Tepate Paramam Tapa Yuvam Vai Brahmana Dishtau Prajasarge Yadatata Sanyam Yandriya Kramam Tepate Paramantapa Yuvam Vai Brahmana Dishtau Prajasarge Yadatata Sanyam Yandriya Gramam Tepate Paramantapa. Yidendriyam gramam
Ladies. Both of you, Krishna and Sutapa, Vai, indeed, Brahmana, Adishto, ordered by Lord Brahma, who was known as Pitamaha, the father of the Prajapatis, Prajasarge, in the creation of progeny, yada, when, tata, thereafter, sanayamya, keeping under full control, indriya gramam, the senses, te pate, underwent, padamam, very great, tapa, austerity. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Savior of the fallen souls, saviors of us, savior of us. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerities by controlling your senses. Purport. Here is an instruction about how to use one's senses to create progeny. According to Vedic principles, before creating progeny, one must fully control the senses. This control takes place through the Garbhodhan Sanskara. In India, there is great agitation for birth control in various mechanical ways, but birth cannot be mechanically controlled. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 13.9, Janma Mrityu Jara Jadi Dukha Doshanu Darshanam. Birth, death, old age and disease are certainly the primary distresses of the material world. People are trying to control birth, but they're not able to control death. And if one cannot control death, one cannot control birth either. In other words, artificially controlling birth is not any more feasible than artificially controlling death. According to Vedic civilization, procreation should not be contrary to religious principles, and then the birth rate will be controlled. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.11, Dharma virudha bhuteshu kamosmi, sex not contrary to religious principles is a representation of the Supreme Lord. People should be educated in how to give birth to good children through samskaras, beginning with the Garbhodhan samskara. Birth should not be controlled by artificial means, for this will lead to the civilization of animals. If one follows religious principles, he automatically practices birth control, because if one is spiritually educated, he knows that the after effects of sex are various types of misery, bahu dukkha bhaja. One who is spiritually advanced does not indulge in uncontrolled sex. Therefore, instead of being forced to refrain from sex or refrain from giving birth to many children, people should be spiritually educated, and then birth control will automatically follow. If one is determined to make spiritual advancement, he will not beget a child unless able to make that child a devotee. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18, Pita Nasasyat, one should not become a father unless one is able to protect his child from Mrityu, the path of birth and death. But where there is education about this, a responsible father never begets children like cats and dogs. Instead of being encouraged to adopt artificial means of birth control, people should be educated in Krishna consciousness, because only then will they understand their responsibility to their children. If one can beget children who will be devotees and will be taught to turn aside from the path of birth and death, Mrityu Sangsara Vartmani, there is no need of birth control. Rather, one should be encouraged to beget children. Artificial means of birth control have no value. Whether one begets children or does not, a population of men who are like cats and dogs will never make human society happy. It is therefore necessary for people to be educated spiritually, so that instead of begetting children like cats and dogs, they will undergo austerities to produce devotees. This will make their lives successful. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Vada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerities by controlling your senses. These are ideal householders. They didn't think, oh, we're married, let's have sex. When they were ordered by Lord Brahma, you see, they were simply following higher authority. And then they underwent great penances and austerities, you see. This we must know how to do, how to control the senses. One who controls his senses, he's Goswami. He may be a sannyasi, a brahmachari, a householder, it doesn't matter. But if he controls his senses, he is a Goswami. So to be Krishna conscious means to be a Goswami. If you're a Godas, you're not Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada mentions here the traditional system, Garbhadham Samskara. You give birth to children by starting off with Garbhadham Samskara. So do we have that in ISKCON? Did Prabhupada show us how to do Garbhadham Samskara? Actually he did. And then we have our own version. It's called 50 Rounds of Japa. Prabhupada mentions, first you have the blessings of the spiritual master to beget a child. Number one, first you have Guru Maharaj's blessings. Number two, 5 days after the menstrual cycle of the lady, the husband and wife both chant 50 rounds of japa, 50. And then once in a month they may try to have a child. That's called licit sex. Anything besides that? Illicit sex. Ill. Note the word ill. ill is it? Is spiritual illness? Prabhupada points out in Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 6, text 20, he says that householders who have illicit sex, they don't go back to Godhead. Simple name. He says it's worse than suicide. Now, sometimes there's an idea going around ISKCON, it's even misprinted in some manual somewhere, it said that, well, sex means, no illicit sex means no sex life out of marriage. And within marriage, ideally, it's only for procreation. But that's not what Prabhupada did. Well, ideally, you know, it's only for procreation. I had an aspiring disciple, but I'm very strict about this rule. So I decided to go somewhere else to get initiated where they were allowed to use a condom and have, you know, it's a little facility for the householders to enjoy sex outside of procreation. They went somewhere else to get initiated. They were told it was okay. And use a condom is okay. But that's not what Prabhupada says. It's worse than suicide. So, I mean, as we relish the nectar of kirtan, you see. But if you actually can enter into the taste of kirtan, namaras, even a shadow of namaras is better than sex. We're not to namaras yet. We're struggling neophytes. Let's face the facts. But even a shadow of namaras is better than sex. You see, that's the great power of the name. Even a shadow of it. So the real solution for this sex problem, which is a problem, is to go deep, deep, deep into the name. We have a wonderful opportunity every day, 16 rounds at least, to go deep into the name. That's good. It's all right. It's all right. To go deep into the name. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, back in the old days at ISKCON, Miami. We had a wonderful property. It's an old Christian monastery. It was a banyan tree and mango tree. It was wonderful. I don't know if you ever else saw that property, the old Kumquat Avenue property in Miami. Banyan trees. I even asked Prabhupada about how to brush the banyan tree because we had banyan trees in our yard. But you're chanting your japa in the morning and mangoes be falling from the sky while you're chanting around. Wow, mangoes falling from the sky. All these mango trees, it was wonderful. But I remember one day I was out there relishing the wonderful atmosphere, and one householder couple walked up to me, and he said, "Sankarshan Prabhu, I just wanted to share something with you." His wife was there with him. He said, "Last night we were chanting 50 rounds because we wanted to make a Krishna conscious child, but after chanting those 50 rounds, we were so intoxicated with the name." He said, "Let's wait until next month for sex." You see, now that's called Krishna consciousness. You see, that's Krishna consciousness. They didn't want to, you know, they're flying high. They didn't feel like crashing into the ocean, coming on the bodily plane. You see, they were relishing the name so much. Well, we can wait until next month. There's no rush. Kim, let's just go on relishing the nectar of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have to be very careful how we approach these books. I remember when I was a young brahmachari back in Houston, I had the association of a wonderful brahmachari. His name was Sura Prabhu. Oh, he's here. Sura Prabhu. And he pointed out this verse, you know, 7:11, Balang Balabhatam Shaham Kamarami, how you can interpret it in a different way. Krishna says, "I am sex life." Huh? I am sex life, and it's not contrary to religious principles.
Someone told me this.
Someone told you that on Sankirtan.
Someone I met on Sankirtan said that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where he got it from. Someone. So there was like a loophole. But the thing is, according to English grammar, you see, for that meaning to be correct, there would have to be a comma after sex life. I am sex life, comma, which, by the way, is not contrary to religious principles. But there is no comma there. It's interesting, the word, the English word comma and the Sanskrit word comma. There is no comma there in this, in the English. I am sex life without comma. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. So I am that sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. And that sex life, which is contrary to religious principles, that is not me. Is it? So this is an important thing, you see. We can be a very popular movement if we tell the householders it's okay. You know, we understand it's not, it's difficult. It's okay, go ahead and do it. You know, ideally you should only have a procreation, but we understand. We could have thousands, we could become a very popular movement, you see. But pity of the spiritual masters who initiate disciples and give them that license. The kind of what they're going to have to deal with. The spiritual master allows the disciples to have illicit sex. What kind of reactions will come on the spiritual master? You see? Very heavy thing, you see. So we may become popular, we may not become popular. We have to strictly follow Prabhupada. But actually, in the long run, we will be. By strictly following His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, this movement will, in due course of time, take over the whole world, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sajjana, as I quote this every time I come to LA. Sajjana Durjana Pangu Jada Anagana Premadmanyayala Yoga Bula Dubaila Jagatara Jana. This Krishna Ganga's movement, it is a prema tsunami, a tidal wave of love of God. It will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, whether they are pious, impious, lame, invalid, or blind. So we don't have to water it down and, you know, allow a little sense gratification. If we simply keep it pure, exactly as Prabhupada has taught us, you see, that purity will be the strength. This purity is the force, not impurity. Impurity may be popular, but in the long run, it's weak. It's very weak. So purity is the actual force, the strength of our movement. The Krishna name is so powerful. We don't realize how powerful is the name Krishna. We don't realize how powerful it is. We do not realize. Shuddha prema sukha sindhu pai tada eka bindu se bindu jagat dubaya. That tells us how powerful the name is. Pure devotional service is an ocean of bliss. If one can taste even one drop of that ocean, that one drop, Jagat Dubaya, Krishna Das Kaviraj says, that one drop can completely inundate the entire universe. So, we have to try to taste that drop. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. If I can just get even one drop of that pure love of God, you see, that's what we're after. I don't need a whole ocean. If I can just somehow get one drop of that pure love of God in my heart, you see, my desert-like heart, you see, suffering here with lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and be suffering like anything in the cycle of birth and death since time immemorial. If I can just get one drop of that pure love of God, that will completely drown my heart and it can drown the whole world. So in this way, it's not difficult to follow these principles of Krishna consciousness. It's not difficult to give up illicit sex, even as a householder. It's not difficult. Simply, you have to focus on the name Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. name as unlimited nectar. Tunde tandavani vitang vitanade tundavali lavniye. Karna kradagadamvani gatiyate kunimradebras piham. Chaitra pangana sangani vijayate sirvendriyanam kritim. No jane janita kriyadbir amritai krishneti varna divai. The two syllables, krishneti varna divai, means these two syllables, Krishna. Those two syllables, Krishna, contain so much nectar. Rupa Goswami says, when I vibrate these syllables, Krishna, Krishna is literally dancing on my tongue. And when Krishna is dancing on my tongue, he's oozing out so much nectar that my one little mouth, what can it do to hold that nectar? I need millions of mouths to hold that nectar. And when Krishna enters the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar. I need billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, I'm stunned, I'm paralyzed in transcendental ecstasy. I was just hearing, as I was coming on the airplane from Melbourne, a wonderful lecture that Prabhupada was giving in Hong Kong. And he was saying how when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is dancing on your tongue. You're associating with Krishna himself directly when you chant Hare Krishna. And by associating with Krishna, you become spiritualized. And then he talked about an iron rod. When you put that iron rod in the fire, it becomes fire. Prabhupada said it is no longer an iron rod. It becomes fire. You say, oh, and he says, if you don't believe it, Prabhupada said, touch it. Just, I mean, it's a practical thing. We have electric stoves, and some of us have electric stoves. And you say, well, there's no fire like on a gas stove, but actually, it's fire just as much as an electric stove. You see, that hot metal becomes transformed into fire. You put a piece of paper on, immediately the flames come, you see. So it's fire. So, by absorbing ourselves in Krishna, are the most powerful way given for this age. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're directly associating with Krishna himself. Just as much as being in the spiritual world with Krishna. Just as much. It's a matter of consciousness. It's a matter of realization. I'm directly associating with Krishna. And by that association, you become hot, 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 hotter, hotter, and finally you become fire. You become fully spiritualized. And that is our goal. We want to become completely spiritualized, completely Krishnaized, driving away all the mundane inebrieties which have been haunting us for millions and millions of births. So the process is real. It works. It's like I have one book out now called Truth Works. Simple one-word sentence, but the meaning is very deep. You know something is true if it works, you see. How do you know Krishna consciousness is valid? How do you know it's genuine? How do you know it's bona fide? Because it works. Truth works, you see. I can chant Hare Krishna, become completely transformed. My consciousness is transformed. We have that experience. A whole bunch of us joined back in the 60s. We were all doing all nonsense, the hippie movement. All nonsense we were doing. Completely caught up in sinful activities. But this is so powerful. We gave all of that up, you see. We were breaking all the principles. It's a regular daily affair. But the fact is, this works. It actually gives you a taste. Param drishta nivartate. It gives you a sublime taste that you can't get in sex or intoxication or gambling or material position, even if you were Lord Brahma. You see? And we were Lord Brahma, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam. Formerly, we were all Lord Brahma. That was our first fall down to the material world. We were envious of Krishna, so we thought, well, I'll be the Lord of the universe. And that didn't satisfy, so we came down, tried this and that. We tried 8,400,000 different ways to try to be happy, and we've been failing again and again, and we've gone through that 8,400,000 an infinite number of times. That's why we're called nitya-buddha, eternally conditioned. But the amazing thing is, when you actually come out of it, it'll just be like a second. That's the amazing thing. Pavan mentions that in a letter to Madhavesha Prabhu, or Maharaj at the time. It's like a second. In the dream, it seems like, you know, it seems like it's going on forever, but when you wake up, it's only a second. So it's like you're sitting there with Krishna on the bank of the Jamuna, cowherd boyfriend. This is an example. And Krishna has opened up his lunch bag that Mother Jasoda packed him. And you see that glove jam, and he's about ready to pop in his mouth. You're a little envious. You're too envious. Why? I'm not getting to enjoy that glove jam. And then all of a sudden you find yourself as Lord Brahma. Is he? Trying to enjoy, and you go, goes on for millions and billions of lifetimes. And finally you realize, what's the use of all this? This isn't right. There has to be something better than this. Then Krishna sends you a spiritual master, and you become enlightened, and you go back to Godhead, and then there you are again with Krishna, and he hasn't popped in his mouth yet. It was just a second. He took it out of his lunch bag, and on the way to the mouth there was a little envy. And you're gone for millions of millions of lives, but you come back, it's still on the way to the mouth. Then he looks over at you, he grins, and he pops it in your mouth. Because now you're in a pure mood, you see. You're not envious anymore. You think, yes, Krishna should enjoy that club jam from other just out of. And you think like that, and then Krishna looks at it and pops it in your mouth. So when we go back to God, it'll be like that. Just like we were gone for a second, some stupid thought we had, you know, some crazy, envious thought we had. And we had to suffer like this for millions and millions of lifetimes. But now, oh, yeah, jai. Thanks to Prabhupada, thanks to my spiritual master, thanks to all the devotees. Oh, how grateful I am. How indebted I am to all of them. They helped me back to my actual identity as a peacock or a gopi or a gopa or a blade of grass or a rock, whatever I am in Krishna's pastimes, you see. So it's very important. Don't shortchange this process of this introducing a comma into the verse or a comma into your life. You see. C-O-M-M-A. Don't introduce the comma into 7-Eleven. And don't introduce comma, K-A-M-A into your life. You'll be free from karma. Karma free, you see. We don't need lust. All we need is love. Prema is all you need. So, perhaps there's some questions or some challenges. I'll turn up my hearing aid. I have a mucus problem too. Let's see if I can hear anybody. It'll be interesting if I can hear someone or not. I have my hearing aid amp here. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, as usual, for a very wonderful, thoughtful,
right,
lightning class. Can you hear me okay? Okay. So my question is it ever a good idea to preach the quote-unquote watered-down version? In other words, for instance, Rath Yatra is coming up. And hopefully there's going to be a lot of brand new people coming to, you know, visit our festival in the park there at Rath Yatra. And maybe some nice young couples will come along. And the conversation might come around to this idea of, you know, well,
Prabhupada does say that we should gradually introduce the rules and regulations. That's not considered watered down. There's one nice letter he wrote about how to preach to college students. He said, let them get a taste for Krishna consciousness and gradually introduce rules and regulations. After all, this is the International Society for... Is this the International Society for Rules and Regulations? No. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So if we emphasize Krishna consciousness, that is not watering down. That's simply presenting it as it is. Prabhupada didn't stress the rules and regulations in the beginning. He wanted to let them get a taste for kirtan. And he gave them his loving... Prabhupada was so merciful and kind to those those hippies there at 22nd Avenue. You let the mercy flow, and you get them, and then gradually, as they have a desire to, this is wonderful, I'd like to become Krishna conscious, and I please tell me how to do it. And then, so you do have to introduce the proper rules and regulations, obviously, but not, that's not the, how we, that's not our calling card. My dear sir, please come to our society. There's a big sign on the door, no illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication again. You'll see, like, they're not welcomed, you see. That's after the fact when someone, because we can have many congregation members who can't follow these principles. That's okay. They're welcome. We can have millions of congregation members, but somebody who takes initiation, that's the law. For initiates, that is the law. Before initiation, no problem. We don't mind if, you know, now we have a sign at the door, you know, if you smoke, you're not welcome here. If you ever have sex outside of procreation, that, you didn't chant 50 rounds before. No, of course not. Everyone's welcome. We love you. We want to serve you, you see. But for those who actually want to seriously take initiation, then they have, that's where we have to draw the line. For those who want, ready, want to take initiation, that's not, we don't start off with initiation. Read the books, come. It's not watering it down at all. So not emphasize the rules and regulations in the beginning. But if we say it's okay for initiates to have sex outside of procreation, that's watering it down. And that's wrong. That's where we have to draw the line.
Thank you. You've made that perfectly clear. Thank you. That was a great answer. Thank you very much. Mm.
Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. The implementation to standards is, it appears a little bit difficult because we are a little bit liberal. For example, our youth, our devotees' sons. I've seen that sometimes when they come to the temple. You know, girls can come in shorts or not properly covered sometimes. We've seen that. And, for example, there's one temple that is not part of our group. I think it's the Sikh temple. When a guest comes, this is a guest. They have a how do you call this, gopi skirt? That they invite the female women, please cover yourself properly, so to keep the sanctity of the place, the sacredness.
Yeah.
So I was saying that.
So you want to introduce that to ISKCON?
No, okay. This is the sixth temple.
So I'm just
trying to see the how do you say? Even other groups sometimes, like, you know, the Muslims group, the Islamics.
Yeah.
They, you know, the women, even when they go to college or university, yeah. They keep that. They're very strong in that.
Yeah.
And the Amish or the Jewish tradition. So we're losing. It's like it's deteriorating little by little in as far as the, I can say, the females, externals, how to dress. So especially now I was remarking the youth, how to educate them. They already initiated, maybe the thing they initiated, some of them. They already know the principle, they already know the philosophy, their parents are Krishna conscious, but still it's a little
they
bit hard.
They come to the temple in shorts or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the
challenge.
That's
up to the parents to train them. Their parents have the responsibility to train them. The children should be guided by their parents. Yeah.
Thank you so much for the lecture. Your kirtan was really lovely. Okay. I found a book that was on Garbhadhana Sanskara in the Chapati Temple in Mumbai. I believe that it was printed by the BBT, But I'm not 100% sure on that because of when I read it. I don't know if it was printed by the BBT, but I purchased it at the temple. And it's on, obviously, Grihastha lifestyle, rules and regulations. And I also believe, I mean, I felt like when I was reading it, that it was written by Prabhupada. So I read the whole book. And it's describing when we want to procreate, that we spend like a day chanting, and then there's like, we fast, wear white, both the husband and the wife wear white. It's a certain time of the month. It's actually at a certain time of the day. It's not in the daytime. It's in the evening around 8 o'clock p.m. All the sheets have to be changed. Like, there's certain setup for the house as well. Like, I mean, it was very detailed.
Yeah.
And it said that for sex life,
changing. Actually, the no illicit sex doesn't mean don't pay attention to your wife. It's actually it's the duty of the husband to see that the wife is going back to Godhead. He's taking the responsibility that she goes back to Godhead. So he has to be very very attentive, always attentive to his wife, her Krishna, not physically, but to her Krishna consciousness. He has to be always aware of her Krishna consciousness. He can never neglect them. His children and his wife are all under his protection for going back to home, back to God. And so that the husband has to always be mindful of his wife.
Yes. Well, now I'm confused, because if the book I read was printed by the BBT, then that means it's approved by Prabhupada, and whatever it is saying is complete truth. And I'll try to find the book for you. I gave it to a woman who was trying to conceive, so now I don't have the book. And when I went back to the Chaupati temple months later, I tried to find the book and it wasn't there. So it was pretty disappointing. So I will try to find it, and I have
I'm not catching all
it.
The words. I'm trying to catch the essence. I'm the deaf man with hearing aids and mucus, so I'm trying my best.
Uh-huh.
But what's the essence?
Okay. What I heard you say is that there is basically sex one time a month in order to create a child. This book said it's about 15 days a month, and I just wonder.
This book said what?
15 days.
15 days? 15 days a month?
Uh-huh.
And I pity such a householder. He's going to lose his brains. The more a man has his stamina, he loses his duration of life. His mental power, he becomes senile as an old man. He dies younger. He dies senile. I mean, the stamina is meant to be withheld within the man's body as much as possible. Actually, it's called urdhva reta, or upward traveling stamina. It actually goes up the spinal cord and nourishes the brain for Vedic understanding. Sex life is the ideal thing. If for a householder, if he wants to have a child, is to have sex life one time in his whole life. That's ideal if he wants to have a child. If he's not able to, he has to give it a few tries, you know, until he gets a child. But ideally, he should have sex only once. If he wants to have one child, once. If he wants to have three kids, have sex three times is ideal. That's it. The less sex, the better. That's the fact. And we don't need sex. We grow up in this culture where you have to have sex. You have to have sex. There's a whole pressure. When I was a kid, I wasn't dating in high school. I wasn't dating the girls. And my friends, Evie, made a nickname for me. Called me Chicken Finsterwald. Because I wasn't dating girls, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous culture. We're just being forced into it, you know. You got to have a girlfriend. What's wrong with you? You don't have a girlfriend? What's wrong with you? You know, it's just this huge pressure. It's ridiculous. Disgusting. Animal culture. We need Vedic culture, brahmachari, you know. Yes, huh? Well, there's different parts of the Vedas also for materialists. Well, I wouldn't sell it in my temple, I guarantee you that. There's a lot of nonsense that goes on in ISKCON. It doesn't legitimatize it. A lot of nonsense going on in this movement that has to be... We have to preach strongly and set good examples. And if our movement is going to lead the world out of chaos, we have to get rid of this nonsense that's going on within our movement. That's how we can lead the world out of chaos. If we ourselves are engaging in all kinds of nonsense activities in the name of Vedic culture. Give me a break. You know, we have to follow Prabhupada. Prabhupada's our standard, not some Vedic book. Prabhupada said all we need is his books. We don't need to read any other books. He said it many times. So we have to be very strictly following Prabhupada. That's our pathway out of this material world. Not this so-called quasi-Krishna conscious Vedic this, Vedic that. 15 days of Vedic sex a month. It's madness. It's sheer madness. Anything else? Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class. I just wanted to touch on Sachi Tanoi's point that he raised, because it's very germane to this temple, about youth who don't dress properly, etc.
About what?
About young devotees or young ISKCON offspring who don't necessarily come to the ideal standard that would be preferred. So Prabhupada's mood is just like you said, if you're not initiated, in other words, they didn't take any vows to wear dhotis to the temple. You know, they didn't. So it's better to have them come to the temple and take darshan, get prasadam, chant Hare Krishna in improper clothing than to not come at all, which is going to be your choice. If you try to impose some kind of very strict clothing standard, they're not going to come. So it's better to have them come to the temple, take darshan, take prasadam, chant Hare Krishna. But obviously, if they're a little bit sincere and they associate with nice devotees, the standard will raise. Their desire will purify and they will become more. But you can't make it a strict imposition. It's actually better now than it was in the past. I've told the story before, but I'm still shocked, because I was in San Diego Temple for a Sunday feast. I think you were there at that time in San Diego. And some guy came off the street wearing shorts and no underwear. And he was sitting there in the temple exposing himself. And I grabbed him. I asked him nicely for us to cover up, and he wouldn't. So I grabbed him and took him out. And some devotees got mad at me. How can you do that? We have to be liberal and let people come to the temple. But not that liberal. So if they're wearing shorts and underwear, it's okay. Let them come, chant Hare Krishna.
I'd like some clarification about a point that Prabhupada was making in the purport. You can hear me okay? Because I'm really trying to blast it out there.
I can hear you really well. You're good.
Okay.
Your diction is good.
So Prabhupada in the purport used the words that you cannot mechanically or artificially stop birth, you know, control birth in that way. So is he trying to say that it's not, you know, it's not possible, or it's not a good idea?
No, it's not possible.
It's not possible.
If someone dies, they're going to take birth again by the law of nature.
But it seems that
you
contraceptives
can't stop his
do work, don't they? Or not?
He's going to take birth somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You can't stop birth. Birth goes on just as death goes on automatically by the laws of nature.
So that was
just as death goes on automatically, birth also goes on automatically. You can't stop it. That's what it means.
It's not that contraceptives don't work, but he's making the point that
he'll be born somewhere else. That's the law of birth and death goes on. Nothing can ever interfere with it.
Okay.
If they use contraceptives, you know, they'll take birth somewhere else. But he's going to take birth somewhere. You can't stop the process of birth. It's going to continue to happen no matter what you may do. They think they can control birth. They can't. Birth is uncontrollable because it's karmic. And if you want real birth control, then you have to follow Krishna conscious principles. From one who is who dies, birth is certain. You can't stop them. That's what it means. Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to ask a question about something you were saying in the class. You're talking about how we all take our first birth as Lord Brahma.
How what? Oh, yeah, first birth. The Prabhupada mentioned that, you know. First birth is Lord Brahma.
It's in the Bhagavatam. And then after that, we go down and, mm-hmm. you know, experience life in bodies lesser than Lord Brahma. Is that always the case? And is that inevitable? Or is there...
No. You could go back. Lord Brahma, as Lord Brahma, you could go back to Godhead. It's possible. It happens sometimes. Lord Brahma goes back to Godhead. But sometimes he doesn't. So, yeah.
Okay.
Lord Brahma we have now is a great pure devotee. He's the founder of our acharya. There's many Lord Brahmas in many universes. Our particular Brahma of this universe right now is a very great devotee. Mm-hmm. He gave us Brahma Samhita. Very great devotee. Very, very great devotee. We're blessed to be in a universe with a pure devotee Brahma. A great blessing, founder of our Sampradaya. Great blessing we have, this particular universe. Everybody satisfied? Y'all happy? Okay, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody want a garland? Come and get it. Hare Krishna. Yeah.